Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Mara on WNYC, and now the rise and fall of Fairway. Maybe this tweet from Bloomberg Business reporter Devon Pendleton yesterday sums it up best, with a hat tip to Judith Viorst. So Byford quits and Fairway files for bankruptcy on the same day. That is a terrible, horrible, no good New York City day. Yes, Andy Byford did quit and seems determined to stay that course, at least so far. We heard the mayor on this program earlier appealing him to reconsider. What happens next for Fairway and its stores is at least a little less settled. Yesterday, it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and the bidder for its Manhattan stores says they will keep them open under the Fairway name. So I'm joined now by Soma Biswas, who covers bankruptcy and restructuring for the Wall Street Journal and WSJ Pro Bankruptcy, to shed some light on what's happening and where the Fairway story fits into some of the other retail closings. Soma, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
So the New York Post had reported that Fairway was filing for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which would have meant closing all the stores. That's not
right.
What happened yesterday. That was the first iteration in the news. They actually filed for what's called Chapter 11 bankruptcy. What's the difference?
Chapter 11 is the most common corporate bankruptcy, the one that companies usually file. If you file Chapter 7, you're basically liquidating right away. There's no question about that. Whereas if you file Chapter 11, you have options. You might come back around in a smaller form, you know, or you might liquidate. But with the Chapter 7, that's just the end.
And it's being reported that they have a buyer for the Manhattan stores, the company that owns Gourmet Garage and ShopRite, but they would keep the Fairway name?
That's what they're saying. And by they, I mean the Wakefern Food Cooperative and the Sumas family, who specifically owns the ShopRite and Gourmet Garage banners. That's right. They're saying that they're going to operate the stores as Fairways. Yeah.
But that could still change if higher bids come through from other companies?
Absolutely. That can change if higher bids come in and another buyer could show up. And, you know, they're saying they're going to keep it as Fairway, that there's no obligation for them to do that. They're just going to, I don't see why they would change it to, let's say, a ShopRite. But, you know, they're not promising anything. These are... This is what they intend to do for now.
And what happens to the stores outside Manhattan, like the one in Red Hook?
They will close for sure. That's the end of Fairway in Red Hook.
All right, listeners, we're opening up the phones. Fairway shoppers, do you have a favorite Only at Fairway moment to share? Or were you Fairway shoppers but have moved to the Trader Joe's that opened a few blocks from the original, or to online grocery shopping? Are you relieved that the Manhattan stores will stay open? Are you a Fairway employee? What have you been told? Tweet at Brian Lehrer or give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Soma Biswas from the Wall Street Journal, 212-433-WNYC. From what I understand, Fairway employs 1,400 people in the area. What happens to them?
Yeah, I think 1,400 are the ones who are employed in Manhattan,
and
Manhattan. Yeah, they'll keep their jobs. They have a total of 3,000 employees, so that's 1,600 who are going to lose their jobs outside of Manhattan.
And it's a union shop, as I understand it.
That's
what
right.
Does bankruptcy mean for the union contracts if they're acquired?
Yeah, the company has already said in their court filings that, hey, our pension and wage costs are too high, and if we can't get a better deal from the union, we're going to ask the court to basically cancel their collective bargaining agreement, and they can do that under bankruptcy law.
Let me ask you the obvious question that a lot of Fairway shoppers are asking themselves. It's been such an institution, and as the New York Times headline put it, Fairway is so crowded, how can it be in bankruptcy? So I put that question to you.
Yeah, they said when they filed for bankruptcy that these stores in Manhattan are some of the most profitable stores, among the most profitable stores in the country, you know, of grocery stores in the country. And that's true, but they had expanded to, you know, New Jersey and Connecticut, and that didn't work out so well. But also they had a lot of debt on them. They've been through, you know, a number of different ownerships by, let's say, private equity or hedge funds. They had over $200 million of debt on them, so they had to pay the interest on that. You know, that doesn't leave a lot of room for investment. The stores are crowded, but they were running out of cash because the profits were not there.
Can you explain the private equity or venture capitalists aspect of this or hedge funds to us business lay people who don't understand it? If anything, we probably assume that these companies make smart decisions, and if they invested in Fairway and led them through Chapter 11 bankruptcy to restructure, that it was likely to make them more profitable rather than lead to its demise.
Right. That's a very good question. So actually, in reality, what's happened is that, you know, when you have private equity firms taking over, particularly retailers or any industry that's going through a lot of change, to use a very overused phrase, disruption, you know, it's not just Fairway. A bunch of other retailers that are owned by private equity firms have filed for bankruptcy, become distressed. And the reason for that is that, you know, they have certain formulas that may work when the business is great. In other words, there isn't a lot of competition, but those formulas are about cutting costs, raising prices, and that's not going to work so well when you have Whole Foods moving in to your backyard, Trader Joe's, you know, you have online
price competition. While
right.
Fairway was going up under
right.
that formula you
exactly.
just described.
Exactly, yeah.
Daniel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me, Brian?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I make a product that is highly sought after. New York Times says one of the best broths they've ever tasted. And we start to do a deal with this company, the market. And we were warned by many experts to be recently to be aware of the fact that the Fairway market was notorious now for taking people's products and not paying for them. And right then it kind of let us know that Fairway market was in trouble. I mean, if that's the way you're going to do business. But we did not give them our product because they were not going to pay or couldn't afford to pay.
So fair or not, that reputation got out there, Selma.
That's right. And that's actually fairly common leading up to a bankruptcy, that often these companies stop paying or they pay vendors slowly.
David in the Poconos, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
I travel an hour and a half just to go to the one in Little Falls, and the fact that it's closing is breaking my heart.
What do you love about Fairway there?
It's like going to 60 boutique stores in one place. You don't have to drive 16 different places to get the specialty items that you really mm-hmm. love.
David, thank you very much. What do you think will replace it in that respect out there, or does it not need to be replaced in the marketplace?
No, based on what he's saying, I think it does need to be replaced. It's really interesting he's saying that because, you know, when you talk to experts, even some of the people who are involved with this company, they'll say that, like, well, these other locations, you know, the concept didn't travel well, and you know, obviously there is a gap for sort of gourmet, you know, natural, organic, what have you, selections that are not just in sort of a much smaller format.
This is so interesting that the callers are coming from so far and wide. If we thought this was all going to be from, you know, within a 3-block radius of West 74th Street or something, that caller was from the Poconos. We have a caller we're going to go to in the Hudson Valley in a minute after Clarissa in Turin, Italy. Clarissa, hello from New York. Are you really in Turin?
Yes, I am. Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I grew up on the Upper West Side on 111th Street, and I have these very vivid memories of driving up to Fairway on 125th Street with my mom and my sister and just exploring that massive, ginormous supermarket. And it would change from year to year, but one thing that remained really constant was my sister and I would call it the freezer room, the giant, well, to us it seemed giant, but the cold room. Mm-hmm. And we would put on those black oversized Fairway cold jackets that were available to customers. I don't know if they have them anymore, but that's a vivid memory that I have.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know about the cold room. I do know that when I took the Ben and Jerry's tour in Vermont, they give you cold jackets to go in the freezer, and there's a big sign that says, "Many are cold, but few are frozen." Clarissa, thank you for that memory. Paul in the Hudson Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Brian. I'm a super fan of yours. I'm retired. I worked at Fairway for about 20 years.
Thank you for calling.
And I was in charge of the natural food sections. And I just wanted to say that there were really two Fairway stories. There was the family business owned by Howie, Harold, and David, the three owners. And that story ended probably around 2014. And then Sterling Investment Group came in and really changed who we were. And it was the demise of the company. Much to my sadness, I loved working there.
That's interesting. That's in line with, I think, you know, what a lot of people have said who have worked there or had some association with it and just who know retail.
By the way,
well.
I meant to say I do not remember them giving you cold jackets to take the Ben & Jerry's store. Not that they did. Lois in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Brian. I met my husband at Fairway, so it was really the mark with everything for me. I met him there in 1987 over the oranges.
Is there a pickup line that goes over oranges?
Well, there was a pickup line for us. I was wearing a T-shirt from Costa Rica, which in 1987 was not the usual place to go. And so he said, "Oh, were you in Costa Rica?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said he had been to Nicaragua, so we had a mind meld over, you know, 1987 politics. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history, yeah.
Thank you for sharing it. Ken in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Brian. I'm kind of upset. Is the Douglasson store going to close, the Fairway store in Douglasson?
I would assume so.
It was so long before they finally got that Fairway store. It was the Walbaum's that failed. Then they had the Fairway store, and they keep talking about a Lowe's store coming down there. That's going to be pretty devastating for the area for that to close. And we just love that Fairway, you know, with the bulk foods. We're kind of vegan, so we have the Ezekiel bread and the produce section, and the organic section is really great. The Motown music. I feel terrible about it closing.
Auburndale, Bayside, Douglaston, yeah. Little Neck, Great Neck, Manhasset, Plandome, and Port Washington. Ken, thank you very much for calling from Auburndale. Give me another thought on private equity. What do private equity firms promise that make that route attractive to family-owned businesses, like in this case? I mean, they're implicated in a lot of bankruptcies and liquidations in general, aren't they?
Yeah, they absolutely are. Particularly in retail, because there's, you know, so much change going on. You know, when families sell out to private equity firms, there may not be necessarily other buyers around, for one thing. I mean, you know, they need to sell to someone, and they probably promise to make investments, you know, to put some money in, which to some degree does happen from time to time. Not that it never happens, but it's the scale. You know, you have to look at the scale of, well, how much are they investing versus things like, you know, cutting workers or, you know, raising prices, right? Like, so yeah, they do. I mean, if you're a family and you're selling, you know, you need to have someone to sell to. And I'm sure that they say, I know they say, because they say that to us in the media, like that, you know, we're going to make this a bigger, better company.
Unbelievable where all the calls are coming from on Fairway. Philip in Belfast, Maine, you're on WNYC. Philip, we have 30 seconds for you. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to tell you the story about how I lived in Brooklyn for about 15 years. My mom would come down every year for Thanksgiving, and we'd do our shopping at Fairway. And one day she was getting cheese from the cheese display back there, and the man was very, very nice. We bought some cheese, came back the next year. He absolutely remembered her name, remembered where she was from, remembered the cheese she bought. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, we did the exact same thing. Absolutely remembered. This went on for 5 years, and she was sold on Fairway forever after that.
Personal relationship. Philip, thank you so much for your call. So we've got 30 seconds left, Soma. There's still another month for other bids to come in, I understand. Any potential buyers who might yet save the stores in Auburndale and Red Hook and Little Falls?
I certainly get the impression that a number of people are looking. I mean, maybe a Key Food. There are a number of fairly large companies that have been entering New York and growing in New York, like Aldi, some foreign companies. Mm. I don't know, if they would necessarily queue them as Fairway or not.
Or it's Wegman's world now. We're all just living in it. Soma Biswas, who covers bankruptcy and restructuring for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for having me.